Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 2 of our show. And before we get started, I need to take a minute and say something. For many people in the gaming industry, this has been a challenging week. Dozens have revealed either sexually explicit or physically uncomfortable experiences with entirely too many men in the gaming world. Many have been or continue to be in places of power, either as management or simply industry luminaries. And that influence was repeatedly wielded to take advantage of other people in ways we should all find deeply shameful, if not directly illegal. Guys, I need you to take a minute and absorb this. Go and find these stories and read them. Believe these people struggled even to admit these events occurred. And worse, that it wasn't a guarantee the rest of the world would accept these claims as accurate or even harmful on their face. It is almost impossible that you don't know someone impacted by this kind of behavior. These people, those brave enough to speak this week, are the tip of an impossibly large iceberg, and we are far from helpless against these acts. If you see a coworker acting like the bastards in some of these stories, you need to call them out on it. Support the people in your life who discover the power to report these acts and encourage others around you to believe them without some grand inquisition. You know, nobody wants this kind of attention. It's not a positive thing for anyone to relive these things over and over again. Your actions matter right now. You can lend your voice, choose to stand with people who have suffered through this, or just be a support structure for those not yet able to share their version of these nightmares. But at the end of the day, you have power in these situations. And every day that you choose not to use that power, other people get away with more and occasionally worse. It's on all of us to do better, to be better. And I hope you take the time to read these stories to better understand how you can help. There are going to be some links in the show notes for people who are interested in learning more. And I hope that you just take your time and absorb the information that you find there and just let it be instructive. And I thank you all for giving me the time to share this. We're going to go back to the fun stuff now. Carly, Jen, and Rebecca are going to talk a little bit about some of the news in the industry that is not this. And then we're going to drop into a longer conversation with Christine Romero Chan and I at the Harry Potter Wizards Unite Fan Fest. So thanks for making it through this brief intro.
Okay, so we'll just hop right into it. The first game that kind of caught our eye this week, and probably the eyes of many people because it's so visually stunning, is Control. Control is the new game from the people behind Alan Wake and Quantum Break. And I know that Jen has been spending a lot of time with it, so I was wondering if you can maybe give us your first impressions of the game and what you think of it.
Yeah, I mean, I beat it the other day. I don't want to go into too many spoilers. Obviously, it just came out. As I was playing it, it really felt like David Lynch just made a video game. It was really weird. Some of the sections reminded me of Twin Peaks a little bit, oddly. But yeah, it's very fun when it works because the performance on PS4 and PS4 Pro is not good. Like, the frame rate drops a lot. When you enter menus and exit out of the menus, it'll freeze for a minute. I don't know why. Well, a minute's exaggerating, but it'll freeze for several seconds. But, yeah, it's a very fun game. The opening hours are pretty slow. You have to work up until you get your abilities, finally. But I really enjoy it. The story's very, like, trippy and sometimes hard to understand. But I liked it. It was just, it explains enough, but doesn't explain everything. And I think that works to its advantage, like about the supernatural entity that's in it, the hiss, whatever they call it. But very fun.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you just said it's like if David Lynch made a video game immediately, because my partner and I kind of share games sometimes, and we're basically waiting for our copy to come in, so I haven't gotten the chance to play it yet. And that makes me sad because it sounds exactly like my kind of stuff with all the David Lynchian horror, supernatural stuff. I did kind of want to touch upon a bit about all the performance issues because that's kind of one of the big talking points for the game this week, unfortunately, because, you know, it plays well on PC, especially if you have, you know, a graphics card that can handle ray tracing, which, if the audience doesn't know, is a kind of technology that makes shadows and lighting very realistic. And if you have a newer console, you know, it's pretty playable, especially on like maybe the Xbox One, the PS4. But if you have like a launch PS4 or a, you know, an original Xbox One, you're going to have some serious performance issues. You mentioned slowdowns. I know that Digital Foundry said that sometimes it can drop to as low as 10 frames per second, which is absurd.
Yeah, I mean, I'm playing on PS4 Pro, so sorry. It's not as bad for me on PS4 Pro, but it's pretty bad.
Yeah, like, do you find it to be, like, are you able to work through it, I guess?
Yeah, it's playable. It's not unplayable. It's just, it's infrequent enough, but it definitely happens a lot when you use your launch skill, which is, I guess, using the Force in Star Wars, right? You can pick up an object and, like, toss it somewhere, just, like, telekinetic abilities. Mm-hmm. And that, combined with a destructive environment, like, the pillars can collapse, the desks can explode, all that stuff. There's just a lot of particle effects on the screen. That's when you see slowdowns the most.
Yeah, which is, I feel like, would probably be an issue if you're in the middle of an important fight and the entire game just slows down. But what I find kind of interesting, because we're at the end of this current like console generation cycle, so I feel like we're getting more instances of games like running poorly on, you know, maybe like launch Xbox Ones or like older PS4s that aren't PS4 Pros. And I mean, I don't know about either of you two, but I was trying to figure out if there were any instances of this happening at the end of the last generation. So I'm wondering if either of you can maybe remember if that was the same. It was the same thing. Because I couldn't figure it out.
Skyrim. I mean, it's a Bethesda game, so I don't really know.
I mean, it was kind of unplayable for other reasons that weren't just like the limitations of the console.
Yeah. I mean, especially on PS3 though, but PS3 had its own issues.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess it's hard to compare the PS4 and the PS3 when the PS3's like internals were,
you
know, made it impossible
bad.
For a lot of people to develop for it.
Yeah.
I can't really say much about the Wii U. You know, it was kind of a weird system. So it's kind of hard to really compare it to what's going on right now. I know.
I feel bad because there's nothing inherently wrong with the Wii U. Like, it's a Wii. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, the Wii was the Wii. And if you like the Wii, like, the Wii U was probably fine. Yeah. But it was such a failure for Nintendo, at least compared to, like, some of the other stuff they put out. I mean, the Nintendo Switch is a whole other thing. You know, it's funny because I'm thinking about We Happy Few, which came out, I don't know, like months ago at this point. But I was trying to play on the Xbox One and it was basically unplayable for multiple reasons. But it just could not run. Like, my Xbox One could not run it at all. Have there been any other games you just kind of had issues with where it's just like, this game is not running at all and I can't play it?
And Just Cause 4 recently, well, a few months ago, I should say, but that wasn't great either. I have a lot of issues of Just Cause 4 other than the performance issues. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that comes to mind. That wasn't great. I feel like a lot of games now launch with at least some type of performance issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I think is kind of interesting, especially as the new consoles kind of are on their way in. And I feel like that a lot of the, I guess the new consoles, like the huge focus is going to be on their internals because of just how quickly games are kind of like going, like exponentially getting better in terms of graphics and just like the amount of technologies they use to kind of render these incredible things. Because like I said, I haven't played Control yet, but it looks like astounding. It's like no game I've ever seen before.
Oh, yeah, it's stunning when it runs well.
Yeah, exactly. And I know that they're aware of the issues, so we'll probably end up seeing some patches, which is unfortunate because it kind of mars a release a bit. But it seems like the critical response is overshadowing that a bit. Like, it's not a huge, it's not, I feel like people aren't like, oh no, what a failure for Remedy that Control is having issues on old consoles. Especially because it's kind of Remedy. It's this, you know, the studio that has like this, it's very well liked, even if its games haven't always been like the best games ever.
Right. They definitely have loyal fans.
Exactly. Like, have either of you ever played Alan Wake?
No.
No.
Alan Wake is my one of my favorite games, and I couldn't really tell you why, because it has a lot of like gameplay issues specifically, and the story in a lot of places is very kind of uneven, and the tone is like shifts wildly throughout the entire thing, but I just love it so much. And I feel like, at least with Control, like comparatively speaking, there's some similarities in terms of influence, I guess. Like, there's a specific kind of person that I think can make both games, if that makes sense. Like, very kind of like people who like horror, supernatural, weird, uncanny stuff. Cool. So let's kind of jump into the next kind of big game that's been on our radar. This is more of Rebecca's speed, but, you know, Mario Kart Tour, it was announced earlier this week that it's hitting iOS and Android very soon. Anybody with either of those platforms that's interested can pre-register so that, you know, when launch day comes, it'll actually, you know, download to your phone. But Rebecca, I was wondering if you can kind of give us a rundown of what Mario Kart Tour is and what people should expect from it.
Yeah, sure thing. So of course it's coming to mobile, so it'll be a little different than what people are used to on, you know, a standard console, Nintendo console. It'll, in a lot of ways, it'll be the same. There'll be some of the same courses that we had from previous versions. And one of the fun things with the new one, though, is that they're going to include real world locations that players can drive through to see, you know, like landmarks and things in big cities and things like that. The kind of the weird thing for me, at least, is that instead of playing it in landscape mode, you're going to be playing it in portrait mode. So there's not going to be a whole lot to see, you know, from on either side. It's kind of weird.
I was wondering about that because, like, I feel like with portrait mode, you're not going to be able to, like you said, see a lot of the details they might put into these, like, more real world based courses. I mean, like, I don't really need to see, you know, Rainbow Road again, but like maybe these new courses I might want to actually take a look at. And with portrait mode, you can't. And I'm also kind of curious because, you know, it's not as control heavy as Mario Kart actually is. Can you break down like what those are like on mobile?
Oh yeah, sure. So it's going to be a lot like Super Mario Run, where, you know, Mario just takes off. So instead of pushing down a button for gas, your car is just going to automatically move forward. And you can either use the gyroscope in your phone, you know, to rotate your phone and go back and forth, or else you can put your finger on the screen and swipe, or, you know, move it in one direction or the other to indicate that you want to turn left or right. There'll still be items in the game for you to collect and, you know, hit people with and things like that, you know, good old bananas and shells to take everyone out.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be a Mario Kart game without any of those power-ups.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. That's what makes it stand out from every other racing game.
Are either of you the kind of Mario Kart player that's ever used, like, you know, you're really into figuring out when to drift and, like, all this stuff, like, all the strategy that goes into Mario Kart that I could just never really grasp
I'm
properly?
Not. I just, like, pedal to the metal, just keep going. I don't do all that stuff, which is why I lose a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. Especially with the newer versions where, you know, you can pick out specific parts of your vehicle to make you faster or heavier or whatever. I just focus on that more often and choose the best specs that way and then take everyone out that way.
I think that means you're way ahead of both Jen and I in terms of Mario Kart prowess.
Oh. Yeah, definitely.
I just do whatever looks cool. Like, oh, I like these wheels.
Yeah.
That's as far as it goes for me.
And that is a funny thing, because sometimes the things that look like the worst and like the most kiddie, like they wouldn't go very fast, or like the best things to use. It's kind of funny. I love it.
Do you know, like, I've always wondered this, but I've never bothered to look it up. Do characters affect like how fast and you can go? Like, is choosing the character actually also a part of the strategy, or is it just like, I like Waluigi, so I'm going to use Waluigi?
I think, I don't know if it has much of an impact yet, since I haven't gotten my hands on for the on the app for the new Mario Kart Tour coming out. But I think in older games, there was some of that in there. I think they've made it more focused on the actual, you know, wheels or the vehicle itself now to determine how fast you go and everything like that. But I remember Yoshi used to be like really fast and light and could get taken out really easily.
Yeah, and
stuff
I think
like that.
Toad was too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what I'm curious about then in terms of just, you know, you have Mario Kart, it's going to be for mobile and you have it in portrait mode. You have very kind of limited controls compared to actual Mario Kart. Do you think this is, you know, a bad move for Nintendo, or do you think it's going to, you know, work out just fine? Because, you know, you got all the microtransaction stuff, and that's kind of been a staple of all the Nintendo apps that have come out over the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think this is going to ruin Mario Kart, or do you think people are just going to play it because it's a Nintendo app?
I've got mixed feelings about it, especially when I learned that there was a stamina system, you know, that you'd run out of the amount of, you can only do a certain number of races per day, and then you run out of stamina, and you either have to wait for the stamina to come back, or else you can pay for more stamina. And that just seems weird to me. Like, people don't just want to do a few races a day, you know, they want to be able to do it for a long stretch and be able.
So they're pay gating it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
I'm unsurprised. Yeah. I feel like they did that with Super Mario Run in terms of lives, but it's been a while since I've played Super Mario Run. It's weird.
I know. It's a weird move to me. I mean, there's other ways to get people to buy things. Just have cool items and let people play and play and play. Seems to be like a better, I don't know, idea for me. But I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. And who knows? We still have time before the game actually releases, so they could change things between now and then, but that's how it's been in the beta and how they've been, so.
And so in terms of, this is my final question on the matter, like in terms of characters, like do you unlock them? Like, do you have to buy some? Like, what's the deal with like characters you can actually play in Mario Kart Tour?
So it looks like there's like some kind of gem system in place, and you'll earn gems along the way, and then you can buy characters that way and unlock them and use them. I don't know a lot of details on that at the moment, but that's basically the gist that I do know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm interested to see how this comes about, but I think it's just going to be another Nintendo app that people play for, you know, maybe a couple weeks and then kind of fall off on it. But it's probably going to be profitable for Nintendo in some form. Otherwise, they wouldn't keep making these like mobile versions of their most popular games.
Yeah, I mean, Mario will always sell. There's always going to be someone that's going to want to play. And I mean, I want to play even if...
Oh, yeah, just the name.
Yeah. It's going to pull people in.
Yeah, I mean, like, everyone loves Mario Kart, no matter how many friendships you've lost over it.
That's so true.
Or how many controllers you've broken just because your friend
flung
got
it across the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very important game for a lot of people. So I'm interested to see how those people react to the app. Although, I feel like they might not be the target audience, so maybe it doesn't exactly matter. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I don't know. Sometimes I'm surprised by who takes up what games, so we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, that's true, too. And I guess the final game we kind of wanted to talk about this week is Astral Chain, which I know nothing about.
Same. So
Rebecca, you want to kind of give us a little rundown and take the lead on this?
Sure. So Astral Chain's coming to Switch, Nintendo Switch, tomorrow. It's this gorgeous looking game that takes place in a cyberpunk kind of world. And you take the role of a rookie police officer who's living in this world where another dimension's trying to break through and just cause chaos. And so in addition to, you know, your normal cop duties of running around and taking care of your town, you're also fighting these chimera creatures that are coming through from another dimension and trying to just destroy everything. And in the process, you are in control of something called a Legion. It's a, how do they say it? Oh, there's some phrase for it. Like, it's a living weapon that you can control. And you control the police officer character and the Chimera at the same time and do coordinated attacks together. And in that vein, actually, it can actually also be a co-op game. If you take the Joy-Cons off of the Switch and hand one to a friend, you can take one of you can take control of the police officer, and the other one takes control of the Legion, and you can take down all these baddies and do things like that. There's really beautiful coordinated attacks, things that I think will take people a while to maybe get the hang of, because it might be more complex than some other fighting styles, but it's going to be really pretty and really cool, I think.
That sounds wild.
Yeah.
So have you gotten, you said it's coming out tomorrow. Have you gotten your hands on it?
Not yet, unfortunately. I'm kind of new to this position here, so I wasn't here in time to get that. But I've seen a lot of interesting things about it, though. Something to note is that you get to choose between two police officers, a couple of twins. You get to choose one or the other, a male or a female. And the one you don't choose is the one that gets all the dialogue in the game, but your character remains silent. And that's kind of strange. A lot of people aren't too happy about that.
That feels like a relic from like another era of video games where you were always the silent protagonist first person.
If they went through the trouble of voicing either way.
Yeah, you'd assume really they would have just done it for you anyways.
That's so weird.
Yeah. So that's just something I'll have to see how I feel about it when I get my hands on it tomorrow.
Oh, so you're going for day of release.
Oh yes. Oh yes. This game looks too beautiful. And it was created by two beautiful minds from people that worked on Nier Automata. I don't know how to pronounce it either.
It's fine.
I mess it all the time.
I used to call it Automata, and then I used to call it Automata, and I'm pretty sure it's Nier Automata.
I always thought it was Automata, but I haven't.
I thought it was the second one.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't actually played it yet.
Whatever. You know,
which I realize means that my gamer card needs to be taken away. But
oh man,
mine was this morning when I said I didn't play Final Fantasy. It's okay.
I have also not played Final Fantasy, so I mean,
there we go.
I hope we don't lose subscribers and the podcast gets canceled because we're just the worst.
There's just so many games, and it depends on where you what you grew up with and what consoles you had and what, you know, there's no way you could play every single game that's out there.
Of course. But there's some games that I feel like you got to play at least like one of. Not gotta, but like I feel like there's pressure to at least play like one Zelda game.
Just so you can understand the memes.
Yeah, or just like,
yeah.
Like I played one Zelda game and I found I don't really like Zelda games, and that's fine, but
I'm not into them either. I tried Breath of the Wild. I'm sorry, this is blasphemous, but I can't get through Breath of the Wild. Like,
games that rely a lot on puzzles for me, like, they need to be. I don't really know. Like, there's some puzzle games I've liked and some I haven't. And, you know, games like Breath of the Wild. And I think the one I played was Ocarina of Time. I think it was Ocarina of Time. I was just like, you know, this isn't for me. It's too much run around to get to where you need to go. I know.
Are we fired now?
I'll just look at you guys differently from now on.
It's okay. It's just going to be a very weird podcast from now on.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming towards the end of our time, but I guess just to wrap up, I was wondering if, you know, you guys can maybe just go over, like, what games you're probably going to be playing over the next week. I know, Rebecca, you've already mentioned you're going to be playing Astral Chain, but I guess if there's anything else you might want to mention to our audience.
Well, I just finished Fire Emblem, and I'm going to have to play it, you know, through two more times, because there's the three houses, and I have to know the whole story. So I'll probably be probably do Claude this next time. I just did Dimitri's house, so I'll probably go with Claude this time. So we'll see.
Which one's Dimitri's house?
He's the blue lions. Okay. He's the blonde guy.
Okay. Because everyone I know went, I think, black? Is that?
Yeah, the Black Eagles is the big one. My husband's playing that one right now. So I specifically did it so I could see the two differences between his game and my game. And there's a lot of differences. He sees a lot of cutscenes and things that I didn't see, so it's really cool.
Interesting. Yeah, I always really liked about Fire Emblem how replayability is kind of built into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really do, like, I couldn't really get through the last Fire Emblem, but Fire Emblem Awakening, I got through at least three playthroughs of it. It really, they're so good at making you want to replay it with different characters.
They sure are.
Jen, what are you working on this week, and what are you playing?
Yeah, well, you guys were speaking another language because Fire Emblem, haven't played it. So definitely fired after this. I'm finishing up Control, like getting the rest of the achievements because I need 5 more for the platinum, and then I'm just going into Borderlands whenever we get a code or whenever I get it. I'm hopping into Borderlands 3.
I know. I'm so mad because I think I'm getting a code, so I'll be able to play it before release. But the time it releases, I'm going to be out of town, which makes I know it's so upsetting.
Can you like bring your? Oh no, you play on PC.
I do, unfortunately, and it's going to be a wedding. So
whatever.
Just bring it with you.
Yeah, I mean, I could maybe
Project
play it on my PC.
Cloud, or what's Stadia doing? Google Stadia when that comes out.
Yeah, I'll use Stadia 2 months ahead of its release. Yeah, exactly.
Next wedding you go to, that's what it's for when you're at a wedding.
We finally figured out what Stadia is for.
Exactly.
Graduations, when you're out of town. Weddings.
Exactly.
Boring, any kind of meeting like that. Family reunions.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't have to bring your bulky console on the plane and take it out for TSA to check. It's
exactly. We cracked the code.
We figured it out. You've heard it here first. I guess just to go briefly over what I've been playing, still playing Apex Legends despite my, you know, best interests. But I've also been checking out Telling Lies this week. Which is the new game from San Barlow, who did Her Story was the last big one he did. And it's published by Annapurna. And it is it's called a desktop thriller, because you basically watch a whole bunch of videos and you try to piece together like what the story is and what the mystery is, which was what Her Story was. But this is a much larger undertaking because it's four different main characters. And you go into it, you're not even really knowing what the story is. And then as you uncover, you have to figure out like who's lying, who's telling the truth, you know, like, and what the actual story is, despite what everyone else has been saying. So I would definitely recommend checking it out. I think Sam Barlow makes some very interesting games, that are at least worth checking out because they're different than a lot of other things. And I think he, and then you have Erica, you know, there's a little bit of an FMV resurgence here this month, which I always appreciate every time somebody attempts an FMV. So, yeah, that's what I've been working on. Great. Well, then thanks for tuning in to the Jiggle Physics part of Jiggle Physics, where we finally have, you know, just women so we can live up to the name. Yay. Okay. Okay, you know the podcast will probably be canceled next week after that, so
it definitely is.
Okay, bye everyone.
see ya.
All right, so I'm gonna be honest with everyone here. It is 9:45 at night and we have been playing Pokemon. No, wow, that's how tired that's how long a day it's been. We have been playing Harry Potter Wizards Unite for just about 12 hours at this point, right? Because we started a little after 9.
Yeah.
And we took a little bit of break for food at one point, but it's been an entire day of playing this game. And I guess I should let everyone else introduce themselves real quick, since you obviously know my voice.
I'm Christine Romero-Chan, and I write for iMore.com.
And I'm Robert Romero, and I'm the husband of Christine Chan.
So let's break this down a little bit. The whole goal here, if you've ever played Wizards Unite, there are special events that they call calamities.
Yeah.
And the whole deal is that it's a list of challenges that you have to complete. Pokemon Go has a similar setup. Ingress has a similar setup. The way that they set up Harry Potter Wizards Unite Fan Fest is an all-day version of this set of challenges, where the goal is for it to take you a really long time. Like, it is intentionally challenging. And that's kind of how they structure this. So you can get as much as you want out of the day, but the goal is to walk around and play the game with everyone for an extended period of time. And this version, this is the first time they've done it for Wizards Unite. And
having seen a lot of the reports from the Go Fest for Pokemon Go in Chicago, the couple years that they've done it, the big Ingress events that have happened all over the world, I've been to a couple of them. This was huge.
Yeah.
There was a ton of people here. We're in downtown Indianapolis, and the park that they chose is actually very cleverly broken up into...
It was four sections.
Four zones that were isolated from one another. Like, yeah. You kind of had to walk to get from one to the other. And I felt like that
one area
good.
Was way bigger than... It was longer.
Like two sections were, like, pretty open space, but then two of them were, like, kind of cramped a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one area, the most cramped of them was the bridge, I felt. For a lot of the time that I was on there, and the entire section really was a big pedestrian bridge that connects the park to the zoo that is nearby, and so you've got this massive footbridge that all these people were walking across, and it was the only place that I felt the game really seemed crowded, where there were so many people that if you weren't a big fan of being in like densely packed crowd, that bridge was probably a little uncomfortable at times. Yeah. But the rest of the areas were pretty fairly spaced out, and it wasn't because of a lack of people. They just had a lot of room to work in. There were thousands of people at this event. This was incredible.
I was honestly quite surprised at how many people, because you don't see a lot of Harry Potter players like in
just
public,
wandering around
like you do with Pokemon Go.
Yeah,
and so I was just kind of worried that we wouldn't have the same amount of like players in this game. But I was quite surprised that there's this many turnout for this game.
It was huge, and all hardcore fans, lots of people in costumes, lots of people in very clever shirts, either directly game-related or just Harry Potter-related. Very cool.
There was a Loki,
and there were some throwbacks to Pokemon Go, there's some throws to Ingress. There was somebody walking around, I didn't get a picture of him, and I'm kind of mad about this, had Harry Potter robes, but had the Ingress key sewn into the front pocket of the robe, which was kind of a nice cross between the two games. And he was, it was pretty well done. It was clearly something that he had done himself. But lots of really unique outfits, and just generally tons of really happy people.
Yeah.
Props to Niantic for making sure that all of the areas were super mobility friendly. With lots of people in powered scooters or using.
There's even a place to charge up your. Scooters, I think.
Yeah, if you had a scooter you wanted to charge up, or there was wheelchair access for a lot of things, for powered wheelchairs and things. It was very, very mobility friendly, which was super cool. Lots of tents everywhere, tons of hydration stations.
Yeah.
They were clearly, were prepared for this, and this is just the result of this company having done this for several years now. Is being prepared for an event on this scale. The game didn't crash at all. Like, there were no big catastrophic failures.
Well, there was a few glitches where, like, the game would stop loading, and you had to reset it, but, like, that only happened, like, to me twice.
I think the one thing of note for me was that we got to probably 2 hours into the day, and the port keys stopped showing up.
Yeah, well, the port keys were pretty much, like, what they were, like, the bone they were throwing everyone else.
Yeah, so, but in our area, they just stopped spawning.
I think it was on purpose.
It was intentional.
Yeah.
In the event area, they got rid of the port keys, but if you stepped outside of the event area, the port keys would pop
right.
up again, yeah.
Which was, an interesting choice, and it wasn't like, if you had gotten them in the beginning of the day, it wasn't like you were lacking, it wasn't like you were missing them, but I got to like the last 2 hours of gameplay, and that was when I noticed that I had already burned through all of mine, so I was kind of interested that even though there's so much space to walk around in, the longest walking challenge in the game was 2 kilometers.
Yeah.
for as far as unlocking a thing, the challenge itself went all the way around the Harry Potter universe. You had stuff from each one of the four major houses and lots of stuff around the dragons.
That part of the challenges took the longest
thing. I was really intimidated. You get to like you beat the first list of things, and it's like four or five different items that are all fairly common things that you do kind of as part of daily challenges and all kind of, but then you get to the next thing and there's like 30 items on this list that you're scrolling down, It was a
it
ton
was
of things.
It was hard for me to keep track of everything. I'm like, oh, I need these, and then I forgot about all of these other things. And
I was honestly afraid that was going to be the next two part chapter. Like, oh, shit, you have to do another 38 once you complete this. Like, I'm not sure if I have enough hours in the day now.
Right. Yeah, it was a lot. And it did end up getting kind of messy trying to figure out where you needed to go to get the right things. But once you kind of figured it out, the way that they had the game split up, it felt like you could go and spend a little bit of time in one area.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you could kind of casually walk around and get all the things that you needed. You complete those two things, and then once you get past that big set, that was when things really kind of leaned towards the dragons.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about your experiences with the dragons.
I thought they were fun to fight. It was a nice addition. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I mean, it seemed that I was having trouble fighting the dragons, but I guess I just completely either zoned out or did not know that they were zone specific. So
yeah.
I was traveling all around in one area, and I was like, man, I can only find this one specific dragon. But then it occurred to me, like, oh, just move to a different section, you can find that other dragon.
Yeah.
That was the only.
Well, I thought, like, some of the later two dragons were locked. You had to, like, complete.
You had to complete the part two, otherwise the dragons wouldn't, well, the last two dragons wouldn't appear if you didn't complete part.
Yeah.
Yeah, the part two.
So there are some things that are kind of note. Of the dragons that we know are coming, we got to see four of them during the event. And at least two of them are going to be fairly difficult for United States people to find, because they're very regional.
Yeah.
The Chinese, was it Chinese Fireball?
Chinese Fireball, and
that's going to be an Asian landlocked dragon for at least for a little while, and then the other one is going to be South America, the Brazilian
Viper Tooth,
Peruvian Viper Tooth is going to be South America for a while. The Welsh Common Green is going to be in the U.S. And should be splitting time with the other. I had the name sitting right in front of me, and I still can't pronounce it because I'm. I'm bad at that. So it was kind of an interesting choice between those four dragons. Not some of the ones that are the most popular from the books or the movies.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool because it gives them the ability to kind of grow and add more later, which is going to be fun. But yeah. So that, you know, clearly if you came to the event, then you are going to have way more of the dragons unlocked than anyone that's going to be playing on the street. Like that was a nice, you know, you see Pokemon Go when they do these events, it's usually like one thing that they unlock for the people who are at Go Fest, and then a couple weeks later everyone else has access to it. These are like hard region locked for what I understand is going to be quite a while. So people who showed up were pretty richly rewarded in my opinion for that kind of stuff.
Not to mention they also have a bunch of other rare foundables and severe foundables that aren't as common. In
tons of severe foundables.
Yeah.
They were all over the place. And I hate to criticize, some of them, I think they were intentionally softened
for most of the play.
A bunch of them felt really easy.
Yeah, I
caught Dumbledore on like the first try.
Yeah, like I didn't end up like leaning on potions for much to boost myself. Like it was pretty, which is cool. You know, it allows you to kind of move freely through. But I mean, I gained 6 levels playing today. Now, granted, I was not a particularly high level. Like I was level 12 when I started, but like they were just hurling experience at people who were playing the game today, which is very cool. Like it's the way that they rewarded people who came out here to play was I thought great.
And all the event rewards for completing the parts also were like just really fantastic too, like all those restricted books and the coins and the keys and just a lot of nice rewards for playing the game.
Just for playing the game was cool. Christine, talk to me a little bit about the stuff, the physical stuff at the event, because there were props all over the place.
Yeah, they had.
What were some of your favorites?
I like the dragon eggs.
There were dragon eggs everywhere. I saw someone pick one up. shake it, which made me really uncomfortable. But they're like almost torso sized.
Yeah,
dragon eggs that were scattered all over the place.
I made a goal to get a picture of every dragon egg I found.
Yeah, so they were very very cool, very colorful. They had just a ton, you know, between you know dirigible plums and the big harp, you know, from the game. We found
the spider eggs.
They had the giant eggs that were on the bridge. They had there was a couple of trees where they had
the ministry notes.
Oh, they had this huge swirl of ministry notes. There's a set of trees where they had 30 or 40 golden snitches all like hanging between a set of trees.
That.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
and then tucked into a couple other trees, they had the keys from the game that were hanging from the trees. And props to people who did not try to climb up there and take them, because that's totally what I thought was going to happen when I saw those. But you know, the individual, they also had big tents, several big tents for each area, and they were themed. Yeah. So like the dark arts tent had these really cool, colorful green bottles hanging from the ceiling, and all of the potions on the tables.
Didn't get a chance to look at the tent.
Yeah, they were super well detailed. I thought that was very cool. One of the other lounges was each one of the tables had a whole bunch of books on it, and each one of them had a stage at the front.
Yeah,
that allowed the people who are presenting the event to do like trivia and give away prizes and stuff. So people were, you know, giving away shirts and buttons and stickers, and that was a cool way to keep people kind of constantly engaged, and also to give updates on the game if something was happening. They needed to kind of address everyone at once. They had a microphone to do it with. But visually, I think the coolest one was probably the greenhouse.
Yeah, the greenhouse was nice.
Where they just took over an actual greenhouse that was there in the park and just made everything themed that way. So, like, all the chairs had, like, moss and grass growing all over them, and they had couches and stuff that were set up the same way. And it was all outdoor, no, like, you know, canopy cover or anything.
And there was, like, charging stations.
They had charging stations set up in a bunch of places. They also had battery rental booths that I saw in a couple of places to make sure that power was available. It seemed like they had everything pretty well taken care of, and that was exciting.
Yeah.
So what do you think you would want to see next from the game, having experienced this? Like, you go home and you tell your friends, like, what do you think is the thing that, if you were to encourage someone to try and play the game with you, would be the experience from this event that you would try and kind of pitch them on? Because for me, it was just being able to see all of the props and you know, all of the people. Like, being around so many people who are playing the game, like you pointed out earlier, there's just not, you know, walking around, not as many people playing this game, but these are like all kind of really dedicated, you know, hardcore fans that are playing this game. And that's a unique experience. Like it's something that, you know, is worth kind of taking the trip out. If you're a fan of the books and the movies, you know, being able to experience that, I thought was what really kind of made that worth it.
Yeah. I mean, when I initially was going to come here for the event, I thought it was just, how the first Pokemon Go event was just going to be just a setup of walking around, tents and whatnot set up, but yeah, just seeing the props and it having the music play just felt like you're almost like entering another world kind of thing, and it just felt like kind of immersive, almost like you're just now you're in Harry Potter, you're playing the game. It felt really cool like that.
Yeah, I like that. That was fun. I think my favorite thing was probably the music. All the different areas kind of piped through the areas. That was really well done. I also think it's really fascinating that Niantic has three different games now that when they come together into events, create three wildly different experiences. For people who have never been to an Ingress event, it's very kind of mission-focused and story-based. So people are traveling from one spot to another, but there's like a route. When you go and do those things, like there's a progression line that leads from one physical place to another when you're playing those things. So like you're going through the mission and you're learning the stories, you're going through the story that's been set up for that mission. But it's pretty, like, you know where someone's going to end up at the end of that game. You can put things there and be aware of, you know, where they're going to be when they get there. Pokemon Go is kind of internally combative, where instead of having the individual missions, it's really all about working together with your team. Yeah. To kind of rank higher in those arenas. You know, it's very much when you go to Go Fest, there are great big Mystic and Instinct and Valor booths, and that's the thing. Like you support your squad, and you do your thing there and have fun. You don't get either of those vibes from Wizards Unite, because there's not like the houses aren't fighting one another. The whole point is that
there's
everyone's working together.
It's about working together.
Right, it doesn't make it any less challenging. It's the whole goal is, the feel of the game is very, very different, and it is genuinely kind of uniting in that sense. And that, being able to kind of experience that firsthand, I thought was cool, because that does give me a better way to describe how this game is different from the others. So I want to thank everyone for listening to this kind of add-on to the end here. Instead of listening to us talk for a few more minutes, the last little bit of this podcast is actually going to be live audio from the event itself. I walked around with a microphone and interviewed as many people as I could find who were willing to talk to me about their experience in the game and what they thought about the festival so far. So you've got a couple minutes of that to look forward to, and then we will see you all next week. Thank you so much for listening.
All right, so real quick, just go ahead and introduce yourselves and let me know how long you've been playing the game.
Jacob Wicker, I've been playing for about 2 months, 3 months.
Okay.
Madison Lewis, I've been playing since the day it came out in the U.S., whenever that was.
She
got
it.
All right, so what level are you two?
I'm level 19.
25.
25, all right. And how far have you guys traveled to get here?
We're just from Bloomington, so about an hour and a half, hour 15 minutes.
Yeah, so not too bad.
Not too bad. So what are you looking forward to today?
Being surrounded by people who are as excited about the thing that you're excited about as you are, because we're huge nerds. I love being around nerdy people, and I love Harry Potter, so it's great. It's my favorite.
What's the coolest thing you've seen so far today?
I don't know.
So far, the tents with the couches, just great. I mean, the fandom is awesome. The atmosphere, just the atmospheric stuff. Like I said, the couches and just all the statues and just all the stuff. It's cool. It's really great.
What's your favorite thing about the game so far?
Ooh, I really like the animations. I think they capture the characters really well. Peeves in the thing when he comes at your face is great, and the hag when you think she's gonna come attack you. They did a really good job on the animations, I think.
Awesome. Thanks a bunch.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. So really quickly, just introduce yourselves and let me know where you're from and how long you've been playing the game.
My name is Madison Kautman. I'm from Fenton, Michigan, and I've been playing the game since the day it came out, actually.
Same for me. My name is Megan Kautman. I've been playing since it came out, also from Fenton, Michigan.
And my name's Becca Horning, and I've also been playing since it came out from Fenton, Michigan.
All right, so all three of you clearly, you traveled a bit to get here. What are your player levels?
I'm at 21.
31 this morning.
I think I'm 10.
Okay. I'm 12, so no judgment there. What's your favorite part of the game so far?
I think seeing all of the pieces from the books and the movies coming to life in the game is really amazing, and interacting with them.
I really enjoy being able to meet new people, especially at an event like this. It's just really awesome to, see faces maybe that we've seen a pop up on Instagram, overall just meeting new people and seeing this come to life.
I really like the art and stuff in the game. I think that's really cool, and watching it come to life.
What's your favorite part of the event so far?
I love all the decorations. I've been taking pictures of everything. It's amazing. They did a great job.
Yeah. There's so many people here, and I just think it's a great turnout, and I'm sure more people will show up. It's just...
Yeah. How immersive it is. It feels like we're in the game, which is really cool.
Yeah, with the music and stuff going around. Is there one thing you're hoping happens today that you haven't seen yet?
I need to catch a dragon.
All right.
Yeah, hoping to unlock some port keys for sure.
Yeah. Just seeing new stuff.
Yeah. All right, so just new stuff in the game. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
That's great. We are here to nerd out. This is exactly what we're here for. Just real quick, tell me your name, where you're from, and how long you've been playing the game.
My name's Nicole. I am from Georgia, and we've been playing the game since June 26th or so, maybe?
The day it came out?
Yeah.
Alan, also from Georgia, been playing since the day it came out. I got the alert, I think, a week and a half before when they started announcing. And as soon as I had an alert set on my phone, midnight. Been playing since.
That's fantastic. What level are the two of you?
25. I just got there.
21.
That's fantastic. That's yeah, a lot of leveling up happening this weekend. Yes. That's I've noticed that already. So you've been playing the game for a little while. What's your favorite part of the game itself so far?
Oh my gosh. Probably just the experience of being in the game. Like, you've watched the movies, you've read the books, like, you just want to feel like you can really do it. And I think that magical part of it is probably the best thing.
Yeah, it's probably the same for me. The ability to actually do the spells, because, you know, if you've gone down to, you know, Orlando, if you've seen the Wizarding World, from there, you know, you actually buy the interactive wands, you get to try some of the spells out there, but to actually do them every day on your phone, get better at them, you find out there are certain spells that you're better at than others, all of the other things that they've used inside of the game to try to make you feel like it, getting your own wand and everything like that, it's great.
It was awesome.
That's fantastic. So what's you've been here for a little while this morning. What's your favorite part of the fan festival so far?
Oh my gosh. I think seeing everybody else equally nerding out with you is probably the best part. That's amazing. And then just the new stuff, like being able to see things that you can't see every day is amazing. So like the eggs for the dragons is awesome. I've seen just severe things that I hadn't been able to see anywhere else. And so that was pretty cool.
I would say it's probably the increase of like the different type of port keys, but the Niantic company itself made sure that they made them reasonable. So, you know, a lot of times when they open up new things in these games, they make them, you know, 5K eggs, they make them, you know, 10K port keys and stuff like that, where it takes you forever to actually open them up. Each one of them is you know, a single kilometer. So they're talking about, they want you to move around, they want you to walk around, they want you to talk to people. And now you can open things up so quickly that by the time you walk from one end of the park to the other, you've opened up four or five of them.
That's fantastic. And last question, are you guys just Wizards Unite players, or do you play some of the other AR games?
This is my very first AR game, okay. So I'm new to the experience, but it's pretty awesome.
All right.
I was one of the original people on the Pokemon Go game.
Okay.
I was, last time I played, or last time I looked at my game a couple weeks ago, I was at level 35, so I definitely do the AR games as much as possible. So if there are any more that are, you know, fan fics like this, or, you know, fan groups like Harry Potter that come out, I'll probably check them out too.
That's great. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Sure. All right, guys, real quick, give me your name and where you're from, how long you've been playing.
Chris, since the game came out, Bowling Green, Ohio.
Adam, since it came out, Bowling Green.
Right. So, you're obviously not just a Wizards Unite player, and I say that because you're wearing a Pokemon Go shirt. Do you flip back and forth between the two games pretty regularly, or do you have a favorite?
I'd say I'm a casual Harry Potter player, but I'm pretty hardcore into Pokemon.
Have you been to the Pokemon Go versions of this fan festival?
No, I didn't get picked for last year, unfortunately.
All right, so what do you think of this event so far?
It's fun, a lot of people have fun, you know, good stuff.
Okay, is there anything about the game in particular you feel is great, could be better? Just kind of in general thoughts on the game itself.
Yeah, the camera always moves around. Like in Pokemon, you could have it face in one direction at all times, but this one always seems to bounce around a lot, and that kind of gets annoying after a little bit.
All right. And what about you? What level are you?
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
Yeah.
Do you end up playing like once a week or a little more than that?
Days.
Every couple days? Yeah. All right, cool. Thanks a bunch, guys.
No problem.
So, real quick, your name and where you're from and how long you've been playing.
Cindy, in Nashville, Tennessee, about, 6 or 7 months? I'm not even sure.
No, not even that long.
Not that long?
The first part of July.
So. Oh, well, then a couple of months.
Okay.
Cheryl, I'm here locally in Indianapolis.
Okay.
And so, about July 4th is when I loaded it, actually.
I'm Christy. I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I've been playing a couple months.
Paige, I'm from Fort Wayne, and I've been playing since the week it came out. So, I got it a couple days
the
after.
OG.
Yeah.
Okay.
She got us all started.
Yes, that's great. It's you. It always takes one to kind of hook you in, right? What level are you now?
23 as of this morning.
Okay.
22.
I'm 10 as of a few minutes ago.
Well, congratulations. As a 12, I feel you. So you're not alone.
I'm like so close to 12. I'm like 20 points away from 12.
So wait, you started
she's
first.
I took a break in the summer.
I gotcha. Okay.
I came back on.
All right.
It's a slow burn.
Yeah. So what's your favorite part of the game so far?
So far it's this, really. It's been fun so far with today, but I don't know. I think it's really the fact that we all play, and so it's family, and it's kind of fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been, the community events have been really fun here locally, but yeah, this is a highlight right here, so.
I would concur that this event is amazing, but I also just like being immersed in the books again. It's so much fun.
That's true.
Yeah, I like being reminded of all the books. I love the port keys, and I like this. This is really nice.
What's the coolest thing you've seen here at the Fan Festival so far?
We've been here 15 minutes. I know.
Oh, okay.
The giant Niffler is pretty awesome. Really, it's really I think the dragon stuff is really cool so far.
Yeah,
so.
The new quest today. Yeah.
Is there something in particular you're hoping to see today?
Yeah, I could dragons. Yeah, I guess dragons, so. Huh? Just the dragons. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, dragons, and we have a mission to get all of the photo ops.
All of them.
All the photo ops. Got it. All right, well, I hope you all have fun. Thank you so much for talking.
Thank you.
All right, so really quickly, if you could just start with your name and maybe where you're from and how long you've been playing the game.
Rhiannon Sears in San Antonio.
How long have you been playing?
About day one.
About day one?
Yeah.
Okay, what about you?
I'm Edward, also from San Antonio. I've been playing since today.
Been playing since today?
Yes.
Well, what do you think of it?
I like it. It's fun.
Yeah. You guys are both in costume. The costume didn't start today, right?
No, she made me put it on.
Made you put it on? Well, why'd you do that?
So I could be a part of it. He's good support.
Well, you look great. So just real quick, what do you think of the event so far?
It's amazing. Glad the rain finally stopped and we're actually able to be here, but it's fantastic.
And since you've been playing since day one, what do you think your favorite part of the actual game itself is?
The in-depth storyline behind it. I mean, you can actually go out and do things and participate, and it's not just a click and you're done kind of thing. You can dive into the game, and it's fantastic.
That's great. Thank you so much.